The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Right before the sermon hymn, we said two words followed by a whole bunch of words. We said, I believe. I believe. I believe what? I believe that somewhere in the darkest night a candle glows. I believe in love, as the Beatles sing. What do we believe in? Well, for one thing, we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And the Catechism tells us what this means for you and for me. We believe that God has made us, that He has made all creatures, that He's given you and me, our bodies, our souls, our eyes, our ears, all the members of our bodies, our fingers and toes, etc. He's given us our reason, our intelligence, all of our senses. And you know what? He still takes care of them. He also gives us clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse, children, land, animals, everything that we have, it comes from God. And He richly and daily provides us with all that we need to support our bodies and our life in this world. And why does He do that? Does He look out upon you and look upon me and Reagan and Sandy up there and say, oh, these are wonderful people who deserve everything I have to give them. I'm going to pour out abundant blessing upon them because, boy, I really like them. They are so nice. They never do anything wrong. They never sin. They never have a bad thought. They're always patient and kind in what they say and do. So, boy, I'm going to heap blessing upon them. No. No. If it was up to us, according to our deserving God's blessings, we wouldn't get a thing. No. All these things God does, the Catechism says, only out of His fatherly divine goodness and mercy. It's without any merit or worthiness in you and me. And for all this, it's our duty to recognize this. As the Lord's Prayer, the fourth petition, teaches us. For all this, it is our duty to thank and praise Him and to serve and obey Him, and this is most certainly true. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. A lot of people believe in a God who creates. A lot of people refer to God as Father, and then let it stop there. They don't recognize that there is something beyond this life, something incredibly wonderful that, you know, is beyond our understanding. Eternal life with God, and not just God the Father, but one God in particular, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in whose name, for the sake of our baptism, you and I are privileged to have been gathered by the Holy Spirit today. We've been gathered by the Holy Spirit to hear about this God. We've been gathered by the Holy Spirit to hear about His Son, Jesus Christ, who became a human being like you and me, who had all the needs that human beings have, who Himself was dependent upon God for His body and soul, His eyes, His ears, all of His members, His reason, all of His senses, clothing and shoes, food and animals, house and home, Wife, well, if you think of the church as a bride of Christ, yeah. And children, you are the children of the church. You are the children of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in becoming man, living as true man, was dependent upon his heavenly Father for every earthly need. And he did not waver in that trust in God, his heavenly Father. Today, he speaks to us in his word, and he teaches us to walk by faith in a God who not only has created us, who not only has given us our bodies and the food and clothing and all the other things we need for our life in this world, but the God who has sent his Son in the flesh to go to the cross bearing all the sins of all the world, all the disobedience, all the lack of faith and trust, all the blasphemies against God, every sin ever committed. God loves us so much that he gave his Son to bear these things, to give up the life that his heavenly Father had given him, to suffer in his flesh the condemnation for our sins, to have his flesh bruised and beaten and torn and pierced, his body, his soul, so God could take care of you and me eternally. That gives some context to Jesus' words to his disciples. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For guys, life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Now, you aren't just a consumer of goods. You are someone who will live forever, either in hell, separated from God because of lack of faith in God, or glorified in heaven with the triune God eternally. Jesus directs the disciples and directs us. Consider the ravens. Think about them. Don't just think they're black birds who go, as their call. They're unclean animals according to Jewish law. Can't be eaten. To touch one would be to make yourself ceremonially unclean. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't have storehouse or barn. They don't have bank accounts. And yet, even these unclean birds, God feeds. And if he does that for the ravens, how much more shall he do that for you? For you, man, woman, given dominion over the earth, but most especially redeemed, forgiven by the Son of God in your holy baptism. And how about this? Why worry? Why fret? Why be anxious about the circumstances of your life, Jesus says. I mean, if no matter how anxious you are, no matter how you calculate, no matter how you fret, is that going to add a single hour to your life? No, more than likely it's going to subtract hours from your life, even years from your life. And what good is it? Particularly if you believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And again, Jesus directs us to something from nature. Think about the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor do they spin. They don't go to Belk's or Dillard's to buy clothing for themselves. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory, Jesus says, was not arrayed like one of these. So if God clothes the grass like this, which is alive in the field today, green and growing, but tomorrow is thrown into the oven for fuel, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus speaks to you, and he speaks to me with those words, O you of little faith. There is a rebuke there. There is a correction there. There is a statement there that our trust in God and his mercy and kindness is not what it should be. Because if it was, we would never be anxious about anything in this world. I get anxious at times. You get anxious at times. We worry about our loved ones who are ill. We face a financial setback, some big expense to repair, something that has been broken or something that needs to be replaced. We worry and fret. And what we do when we worry and fret is take our eyes off the God who loves us so very much that he gave us everything that we have. But most importantly, he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the atoning sacrifice for all of our sins, indeed for the sins of the whole world. If God so clothes the grass like this, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And I look out here, and I see everyone fully clothed. And you look at me, and you say, he's fully clothed too. Thank God for that. But I also look upon you, and I see people who wear the finest clothing of all. Because you, by God's grace and mercy, have been clothed, have put on through holy baptism the robe of Christ's righteousness that covers all of your sins. Now, I'm going to use a far-out example here. And don't worry, because I'm not going to do this. But let's say that I did, just in some fit of mental incapacity, take off my vestments here, take off my clerical, my t-shirt, my trousers. We'll stop there. Let's say I did that. You would be aghast. You would be horrified, and I would not remain as pastor here very long. And if I came to my senses after I had done so, I would be so very ashamed to be naked before you. Think about how Adam and Eve were ashamed and hid themselves when they saw that they were naked. They hid themselves from God. Apart from the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness and the blood of Christ, each one of us is naked before God. Our sins, all of our evil, all of our misdeeds are exposed to God, and he is aghast at them. He is not merely aghast, he is appalled at our sin. He hates our sin. He despises it. And he had to do something about it, which is why he gave his Son for you, which is why he, Our Lord Jesus Christ commissioned his apostles to go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that he had commanded. You are baptized into Christ. Your sins are washed away. You are made clean, and you wear the spotless garments in which God clothed you in your baptism. And God looks at you and he doesn't go, ah! He goes, my son, my daughter, my beloved in Christ. So do not seek in this world what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. The nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father in heaven who created you knows that you need them. He provides them for you without any merit or worthiness of your own. So instead, you are free to seek his kingdom, and all the things you need in your earthly life will be added to you. But how do we seek God's kingdom? Is it in here among the leaves of this plant? Is it out on the golf course? Is it in our bedroom when we sleep in? Maybe it's on television or on the radio. Maybe it's at that nice restaurant we want to go to. Seek his kingdom. Where do you seek it? Right where your heavenly Father has revealed his kingdom, in Jesus Christ, in your baptism into Christ, in the gospel of Christ, which gives you forgiveness of all of your sins freely, without any merit or worthiness in you, because if you deserved it, it would not be gospel. In the Holy Supper of our Lord's body and blood. Yeah, you are to seek to eat and drink that because there is Christ himself in his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And along with that forgiveness comes life and salvation. So Jesus concludes, "Fear not, little flock." And the word for little is related to the word for microscope or microscopic. Yeah, God's flock at Mount Olive may be on the small side, but it's no less precious to God because we are equally redeemed in Christ as the largest church in the whole wide world. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Right here, in the Word, in the sacrament, there's Jesus. There's the kingdom of God. Where Jesus is, you can bet your bottom dollar, there is the kingdom of God for you. And if God gives us freely of these things, we need not be anxious that he will provide for us. And therefore, Jesus says, sell your possessions, give to the needy, do acts of love for your neighbor, because you know the source of all your earthly blessings. It's God the Father Almighty who gave his Son for you. And his Son who gives you the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you are free. God will care for you, and he can use you to care for others in need. Even though they may not deserve it, even though you may question their need, you can be the hands God uses to provide for them. So provide yourselves with money bags that don't grow old, that don't develop holes in them. Provide yourselves with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. You know, a thief can approach and rob this church of the pure gospel of God and the distribution of the sacraments according to God's holy word. Never let that happen. Never let that happen. Because in word and sacrament is how God's kingdom comes to you. So set your hearts upon the kingdom. Set your hearts upon Jesus Christ, your Savior, the one in whom God pronounces you, declares you completely righteous and holy, the one in whom God receives you as His beloved child. Let that be your treasure. Let that be where your heart is. And seek first the kingdom in the Word, in living by the grace of your baptism, and in feeding upon Jesus Christ today in this holy meal. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your lives in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.